It is jump start January, first show of the year, and I am extremely excited. I'm a bit contemplative, I guess would be the right word, where I think back to 2020, but I also am thinking ahead to this month and the rest of 2021. Exciting things on the horizon for Haney Biz, for Mark Haney, and I think the Sacramento region in general, just as we look back at this last year. You know, it was a strange year, and we're kind of still in the middle of this weirdness, but I've got to admit that there are some silver linings. And today on the show, we're going to talk about some of the things that we are working on here at Haney Biz. We're going to have Steve Boyle. He is with Essential Aero, which is it's more than a drone company. They're a local company here that has got some great ideas on perimeter security and using robotic drones in the air that can help keep airports safe to begin with, and then expand much beyond that. And I'm going to be joined today by Rick Spencer. Rick is the Haney Biz Vice President. He is my right-hand man, and we're going to be talking about something I'm extremely excited about, the Sacramento Growth Factory. And so in today's show, you're going to get a sense of that. Now, at the end of the show, I'm going to share a little bit more about the Growth Factory and some things that we're looking to achieve. But for everybody out there who's sort of like in the middle of that struggle, right? We're still in the middle of the COVID crisis. I want you to know that you're not alone. I have personally kind of taken a pause and reflected back on this, really on the last several years at Haney Biz as we've done our podcast, thousands of interactions with entrepreneurs and investors and leaders of our Sacramento community, not only on this show, but on the events that we do and on the, you know, just being in the trenches with the people that are making it happen in entrepreneurship. And then all of a sudden we get hit in the stomach here with this COVID. And I think a lot of us, it took a second to get back up. It took a second to regain our composure. It took a second to figure out, are we going to keep going as is? Are we going to double down on what we're already doing? Are we going to attack from a different direction? And for Haney Biz, we've decided to attack from a different direction. And with the Sacramento Growth Factory, we're expanding our co-working space here in Rockland. So if you're an entrepreneur and you're looking for a place to hang your hat to grow your business, or maybe you're even one of these workers that is working from home and the dog's barking a little bit too much, or the kids are, maybe they're being a little louder than what you expected, you need to get out of the house and do your Zoom calls, do your working outside the house, come hang with me. We've got co-working space down here. We've got office suites. We've got places to work in an environment that is safe, clean, a vibe that is, you know, sort of makes it easy to work hard. So, you know, look me up, hit me up. I want to help you to grow your business here in Sacramento. But in today's show, again, I think you're going to enjoy it. You're going to hear from an entrepreneur that we recently invested into, who's become part of our beta test of the Sacramento Growth Factory. And I think you're going to like hearing what Steve Boyle, Essential Aero, and Rick Spencer have to say. So stick around and enjoy the show, and let's figure out how to win in 2021. Thank you, my friends. And now it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Steve Boyle. He is the founder and CEO of Essential Aero. And today I'm joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Rick Spencer. He's the vice president down here at Haney Biz. And we're going to be talking about Steve's company, his newest venture, and how it is transforming in many ways, beginning to transform the way we keep our airports safe. And Rick is going to jump in and assist me as my co-host today. And we're going to be talking really a little bit about what the Sacramento Growth Factory is doing and the alliance partnership that we have built with Essential Aero. But before we get into that, let's get to know Steve. You guys know, I think our audience knows Rick Spencer a little bit, but we do not know Steve Boyle. Steve, welcome. Would you mind giving us a little bit of your background and talk to us about what led you to starting Essential Aero?
Sure. So I'm a tech guy from the Bay Area, and I moved there in 1986, a long time ago. And and was there until 2001, and then went to Incline Village for about 8 years, and then came to Sacramento, halfway back to the Bay Area. And I've been primarily working on tech companies, and in 2001, I became a pilot, got interested in aviation. So I added that to my list of things that I spent time on. And so I have done a couple of aviation-related companies. This is sort of aviation-related. This company is what I've done, or what I've tried to do, is I try to find something that's going to be impactful, something that's going to be that is sort of obvious in a way, you know, some of the companies I've done in the past, like back in, dating myself, back in 1995, we started a company to bring internet to a cell phone. So that was the first company to do that in the world.
Hmm.
And we pushed that technology to a worldwide standard. And until the iPhone came along, it was the way that you got internet on your cell phone. So if you got a flip phone and didn't before the big screen.
Wow, that was your company,
that
huh?
was our company, yeah. Yeah,
wow.
That was a big success. And then there was another company that I did in 2010, I started, called Joingo, and that was right after the iPhone came out in 2008. So it was right after the iPhone came out, and the notion was, well, new platform, everybody's going to have one. You know, it was obvious to us that everybody's going to have an iPhone, you know, like thing. And so we thought, well, why don't we move all consumer brand engagement to the phone? And back then, that was pretty crazy. You know, people thought we were crazy. Back when we first, you know, talked about doing the internet on a phone, people thought we were crazy. You know, some of the smartest people in telecom said, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Phones are for talking on.
Yeah.
You know, people don't even use phones to talk on anymore.
So now you are in with Essential Aero. You founded that, and full disclosure, Rick and I and our team has invested time and or resources and cash into Essential Aero because we believe the problem that you're attacking has a lot of merit. You want to talk about that? What problem you guys are solving with Essential?
Sure. So one of the big what I see is a technology revolution coming up really fast is unmanned aviation. So robots that fly, and it's going to change the way that many things are done, and you'd be surprised at how many different companies are involved in it. Every company within automotive is involved in it. They've got an unmanned vehicle they're developing to fly people around. So Toyota, BMW, you know, they're all involved. Boeing, Airbus, and then on the small side, Amazon, Google, you know, the brands that you've heard of, they're interested in being able to either collect data or deliver things using small systems. They're all involved, and there's a it's been going on for 5 or 6 years, and we're kind of on the cusp of something we're going to break through because of some regulatory changes and advances. You know, when I got interested in this area and I started working in it, I discovered that there's only a few relatively minor obstacles to remove in order to unlock this. So we are bringing this new technology, this new way of doing things, first starting with airports. So being able to do automated inspections of airports to do things that are normally done by humans, you know, driving around in trucks, you know, looking with their flashlights, writing things down on pad of paper. What we can do instead is we can go out and do that same mission and bring that data to that person. So that person doesn't actually have to go out in the field and do that physical work anymore. They can, that data can be collected, and then they can do their inspection on their desktop, and then they can, you know, satisfy the same objectives. But then we've got a paper trail. We've got a register or an archive of everything that was there. Believe it or not, things fall off airplanes all the time. So there's, you know, debris on runways, there's bolts, there's nuts, there's screws, and there's nails and all kinds of things that people find in the runways. And they scan it by driving really fast down the runway looking for big stuff. It's super inefficient. It takes a lot of time. Sometimes they have to shut down the runway in order to do it. But what if we could scan that same runway in a third of the time or a quarter of the time? We actually have a register of every pixel of every you know, little tiny dot on that runway that we can save forever. That's going to be much better. And if there's an accident right now, it's like, when did that thing fall onto the runway? They don't know, really. You know, it's could have missed it for days.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to bring Rick into the conversation now. Interesting what you're doing. But Rick, I'm kind of curious if you could briefly share for our audience what the Sacramento Growth Factory is. I touched on that for those that don't know what we're launching here. And then also, why were you compelled to drive this investment for us home?
Yeah, great. So I think first and foremost, the Sacramento Growth Factory, we're really trying to address the challenges for entrepreneurs in this region, right? And so Mark, I mean, you've invested into now over 40 companies in this region and have been really, you know, spearheading this entrepreneurial revolution here in the hometown that you love. With those portfolio companies and other entrepreneurs, they're still struggling with, obviously, capital, right, is a big challenge for this region, but capacity, right? So here, you know, you've got a seasoned entrepreneur in Steve, and he's got, you know, one other team member, but, you know, he doesn't have a full team yet, right? You know, he needs to put this capital to the best use possible to build this company, right? And, you know, one day that could be marketing help. The other day it could be, you know, sales help or technical help, right? And so that's a significant challenge in capacity building. So with the Growth Factory, you know, we're teaming up with companies like Essential Aero to help them with capacity building. We also have something we call, you know, the business model laboratory, right? And so we're really working with these entrepreneurs and these companies to help them test their business model using the resources of the region. To get to your question, Mark, about what was so interesting about Essential Aero, obviously having an experienced entrepreneur helps a lot, right? We don't have to go through the 101 stuff, you know, some entrepreneurs. So we could help Essential Aero with capacity, but also, you know, a lot of people joke about Sacramento being a government town. But in this case, what better government town to launch something that's looking at aviation, right? Where you have a Sac County that has four airports under their supervision, right? All the way from, you know, the large C-class airport in SMF, which is, you know, technically international, to Franklin Field, which is unmanned, right? And, you know, they don't really have to do much, but you know, you've got basically this laboratory, this civic laboratory that you could build a company that helps with aviation safety, as well as, you know, this operational piece and these efficiency things and moving this region towards this advanced air mobility opportunity. And so we always, as you know, Mark, we look for great founders, we look for great teams. So certainly Steve checked that box, but having a company that is technology based and that we can leverage the resources of this region fit all the criteria we're looking for with the Growth Factory.
So as we think about Essential Aero and teaming up with the Growth Factory, let's talk about the problems that you're facing now, Steve, for a minute. You've built other businesses in the past, and some of the challenges that we run into end up being the same old challenges, but is there anything new that you're running into that was maybe a little bit of a surprise?
You know, I don't know that it's so much of a surprise. The same challenges. You know, as an entrepreneur, everything's about speed. You know, it's about speed of execution. It's about, you know, that there's these problems that you have to solve, and it's a matter of how much time you can spend on each of these problems. And unfortunately for Sacramento and other places, it's just easier to go somewhere else to do certain things, right? So if there's a way to reduce that friction so that it's just easier to do things here, then things will happen here, right? It's just so.
And maybe I could elaborate or maybe have you help clarify. So if you're building a business here in Sacramento, our ecosystem isn't as developed as maybe what you have in the Bay Area in terms of capital and other ways of helping companies to really propel and scale. So we don't have that as much yet here in Sacramento. Is that your point?
Yeah, and Steve, you actually have a story about one of your previous companies that you tried to start in Sacramento, but were having challenge finding capital and, you know.
Yeah, it's, you know, every it's hard to compare stories because every area is a little bit different. But that particular company, to find capital here in Sacramento was a challenge. We actually got all the way to the altar, and then we somebody got cold feet. But then we, you know, ended up having to take it back into the Bay Area because that's where people understood the promise. It's, you know, some of these things that, especially in the technology world, they can seem sort of abstract to begin with. You know, they don't really come into focus, and they're sometimes hard to describe. One of the things that I'm not so great at actually is describing some of these abstract ideas and how they apply to people in real life. And that particular company, you know, it was a network security company for consumers. And now it's like, well, this is obviously what everybody needs, right? Because it was all about getting bandwidth in and out of the house with quality of service and also protecting you from foreign adversaries, foreign, you know, hackers into your own house, because everybody's plugging in all this stuff into your home network.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what it's doing, right? You plug in a camera, and do you know where that video is going? Nobody knows where that video is going. It's true. And people don't think about it because they don't want to. They don't. There's not a solution. But anyway, I still think it's a great idea. Could do that next. But You know, when you go into the Bay Area, there's the support network is there because all the people are there, the processes are there. Now is a really great time to try to figure out a way to pull more here because this new remote work situation, it just makes perfect sense. And but when I think about, you know, we've had this conversation, you know, virtually mm-hmm. before, is, you know, how do you make it, how do you get it to come together, right? And it's really a little bit of a chicken and egg problem, you know, because you need deal flow in order to find the winners, right? If you don't have, if you're dealt all losers and you don't invest, there's like, well, you don't invest in companies, but if you're dealt good companies and you can invest in those and they're successful, you can say, well, here's, you know, we do have winners, right? So it's not really on anyone in particular, not the investor, on the entrepreneur. I think there has to be a system here. So, you know, how do we create more deal flow here to Sacramento? I think that's something that we need to, you know, if we were to think about a strategy for turning this place into something that's, you know, can accommodate businesses and be a place to come, you know, that's something that has to happen.
Well, Rick, I'd like to get your perspective on this. You and I have been working on our portfolio here for quite some time, and we've had some success, and we've had some that didn't do as well, but it feels like we've had a lot of survivors, right? There's a lot. We haven't had a lot of failures. It's been some survivors and definitely some really nice wins. So Steve brought up the chicken or the egg thing. We've got a little bit of a track record here in Sacramento for early stage companies to thrive and succeed. But I think what Steve mentioned is that if there's money here in Sacramento, it's on the sidelines at some level. What is the Sacramento Growth Factory approach to addressing this chicken and egg issue?
Yeah, so it's multifaceted. I mean, you know, first we're really trying to help companies, you know, find quickly and test with customers, right? So you can be, like to Steve's point, kind of, you know, between two masters, right? You're chasing capital or you're chasing customers, and it's hard to do both of those at the same time, right? So we need to make it easier to, you know, find and test those customers, right? To build a truly great business, you know, and so in some cases they don't even need capital, right? So maybe they need a little seed, but, you know, Steve's built a great financial model that says, hey, maybe after the seed round, I don't need more capital. That would be a great success story, right? And, you know, would be different from the Silicon Valley grow at all costs, right? And so helping, you know, leverage the resources of this region to find those customers, but also bringing the leaders together, right? And we've talked about this a lot, Mark, which is, you know, there are so many, you know, individuals that have had success here that they're doing their own investments and, you know, they want this region to succeed, but it's a bit of a Frankenstein approach. Right, this person's over here doing this deal, this person's doing this deal, and there's not this combined effort to bring time and talent and expertise and capital together. And so we're trying to do that, right? We're bringing these leaders together to say, if everyone was working on an engine together, what could we accomplish? And then there's a ton of enthusiasm from the average person who's not a high net worth individual or technically an accredited investor, and, you know, but they want to see these companies succeed, right? They enjoy helping these companies and supporting these companies. And so how can we engage those individuals to also support with potential capital, maybe smaller checks, but get them involved as well. And then educating others that have the net worth and the resources to invest, but they're the dentist or doctor or the lawyer, and they have a wealth manager who just says, you know, use this mutual fund and do this real estate play, but they've never really been educated and understand, you know, how they can, you know, support entrepreneurs. And we talked about an article recently about for-profit philanthropy, right? And getting them to think about, if entrepreneurs succeed in this region, you will succeed, right? It will help mm-hmm. your business. It will help your friends, your family, your community. And so that's really important, is, you know, educating that capital that's on the sidelines so that they feel like they can get in the game with confidence.
Yeah, I think people having an investor, having skin in the game, the term philanthropy, and I think a little bit like impact investing, when we put money into a local company and that local company succeeds, it creates all kinds of opportunity. It creates jobs. It creates economic growth. And really, if that company is successful enough to have a nice nice exit. And we've seen this with some of our portfolio companies. So that money gets dumped right back into the economy. And you just think about that cycle, right? And I think that that's why I respect, you know, this vision. It's a shared vision. This isn't just, and I think this is important for our audience to know, is I have this dream of having these successful business partners in my backyard. I talk about that a lot. My portfolio, we all love each other and there's synergy, but that's just one backyard, right? My backyard matters, but what if that became sort of the culture of a region? And we're talking about several backyards and synergy amongst entrepreneurial leaders, investors, and really civic-minded leaders too, maybe in that might be in the media or large corporations or even working for the government. So if we could all come together, the power of with, we wouldn't be what you call, Rick, a tier two city, right? Maybe other people like Steve wouldn't have my first thought going to the Bay Area, right? My first thought is build it here, build it at home, put my money where my town is, put my business here where my town is. So Rick, maybe I want to have you and Steve, I want to hear the dialogue between you two, if you don't mind. When you brought, when you got together, helped put this relationship together, what were the kind of things that you two were talking about then, and what are you talking about now?
Yeah, so I can start, and then Steve, you can
but, how's he doing, Steve? I mean, is Rick doing his job?
Rick is great. I love working with Rick. He gets it immediately. In fact, it was funny to hear him talk about airports and the sizes and everything else, because that's stuff that I'm guessing you didn't know much about before this. So he's a quick study, and he's and at some level, he's better at talking about the company than I am, which is a little bit shameful. But yeah, he's been great.
Yeah, I mean, really what we started with was looking at how do we get this quick adoption by customers, right? And so how do we leverage the resource we have? And, you know, we started using the network, Mark. So, you know, calling over to McClellan and saying, hey, wouldn't you like to be on the forefront of innovation? And, you know, McClellan, most people don't know, is a private airport. So they, even though they have, you know, to be compliant with the FAA, they have a lot more leeway and they can do a lot different things, especially testing. So immediately getting connected. And it was a great example of where Steve had been calling on other airports and getting, you know, no call back or delay after delay. We were able to coordinate that in a week, right? And so they're working on a new business model. And so we're still outlining the test, but they're receptive, they're interested. And there is this general feeling of this is going to help the region go forward. They're not coming to the table and just saying, well, if it's not good for McClellan, it's not good, we're not interested, right? They're generally open to this collaborative, innovative idea. Using another partner we have, which is SACOG, which is, you know, the Sacramento Area Council of Governments. And so most people would say, oh, it's a government agency, but they actually created something called the Civic Lab. And so they are trying to get government players to think about the resources that we have in this region that are government related and how that can be a laboratory and we can test it. And so really it was, you know, working with Steve to say, how can we tell this story so that we can get these stakeholders involved? And so we've been quickly able to engage those stakeholders and look at trying to roll out testing in the Sacramento region in Q1 of next year. Beyond that, it's looking at capital, of course, right? So how can we, going through the pitch deck and looking at the story and being able to help with getting other people involved and interested in the business as far as investing?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I have conversations with different entrepreneurs, many of them are in this place where they think, or they say, I should say, hey, I just need some money, right? How do I get some capital? And in many cases, they need some traction. That traction will be a good lead to capital. And so someone like yourself, Rick, or through our network, get these conversations started. I call it getting to third base, right? Hey, we can't make this sale for you necessarily, but the product's got to be, the solution has to be there. The problem needs to be able to be solved by the product you're offering. But if we make those introductions, you're on the doorstep. If the product works, you could probably make a sale or get some traction, get a user anyway. So,
and Steve's doing a great job of painting the broader picture, right? So obviously there's a near-term solution for airports, right? To make them safer, to make them more efficient, you know, and to help them with innovation that they can use, you know, beyond just this, you know, inspection piece. Steve will tell you how this advanced air mobility will create airports at Whole Foods and, you know, airports mm-hmm. everywhere. And this region has definitely found a lane in mobility, and it's a big topic in this region. And I think it's mostly public transportation and kind of automobile automation and autonomous vehicles. But I don't think we've, you know, done enough innovation conversation as far as advanced air mobility. And this really starts that conversation. You know, we're using Essential Aero to look at how we can start a conversation that could put Sacramento on an international map as far as this is a center of excellence for advanced air mobility. And so, Steve, maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the industry trends that you see and that vision of Sacramento being a center of excellence.
I think it's certainly doable. About 2 years ago, I started working with Contra Costa County. They had the same vision 2 years ago, and now they are part of a Pan Pacific test range, and they've got people coming from the Bay Area to go test there and spend money. It started with a strategy. You know, what are you trying to achieve? You want to get people to start building businesses here and start employing people here, and that happened in Contra Costa. We formed the Innovation Council, and leadership from different parts of the community came together and came up with a formal strategy. And I think we could do the same thing here in terms of the where things are going. I think, you know, we all, if you look on the horizon, I think we can all see where it's going. You know, the era of electric vertical flight is here. You know, it's already starting. There's 275 vehicles under development right now, and the ones at the lead have already taken in almost $1 billion in investment. It's just an incredible amount of money, and that money is going to the places where those businesses are. It's going to one company that I know of very well is got a test range. They've built out a test range in Hawthorne, and there's another one that's down south of Gilroy. And why not here? As Rick said, there's four airports. There's every possible dimension of flight testing can be done here, and it's within 2 hours of the Bay Area.
So. Beyond airports, though, are there certain properties that are kind of lend themselves to? You haven't used the word drone, and I'm not sure why. Do we not call these drones?
Well, the method of collecting is drones. They're
okay.
Right now, they're called UASs, unmanned aircraft systems.
Okay.
But yeah, drones. So we use drones for those services, and incredibly easy to use technology. It's incredibly safe technology. You know, when you think about self-driving cars, you know, the complexity of getting a self-driving car to work is 1,000 times harder than up in the air to work, because you're not going to run into anything. We already know where all the obstacles are, right? So I can easily plan a flight from here to my house and with guaranteed success. Can't do that with a car, right? You got people, you got other cars, you've got to merge onto highways. It's a very complex problem. So this is going to happen first. You know, I know there's a lot of energy and a lot of press on self-driving cars, but this is going to happen way quicker. And it's, you know, airports is a starting point for us. It was selected because it's something we can do today within the regulatory framework that the FAA set up. But there very soon there'll be additional capabilities, and we'll be doing things in a broader space. You know, an airport's 4 square miles. So if you know, to operate within 4 square miles it's totally controlled. Someone knows where everything is and what's going on in every little nook and cranny of the airport. It's not the case for the Delta or for the Highway 80, but at some point that'll be the case for those as well. And we'll be able to do more like scan or inspect long stretches of highway, mm-hmm. you know, without sending up trucks and people.
Yeah, and that's another thing that excites us about the company Essential Aero is they're really building a platform that will have multiple applications. You know, like Steve said, that the airport's easy to contain and to really, you know, create this digital model that you can quickly use for efficiency and safety. But, you know, we connected Steve with another portfolio company, EcoAlpha, and they've already identified multiple kind of eco-engineering opportunities and are, you know, in the process of, you know, proposing this to government agencies. And so we can already see a roadmap for other applications. And then, you know, in this region as well, I know Steve's been exploring agriculture use cases, right? And actually being able to look at the yield for certain plants, creating these digital models and this data analytics. So, you know, with a platform like this that, you know, people have known about drones for years, but they've all been manned, right? So they're all requiring people. And so if you can automate this drone as a way of collecting data, and then you can create the data platform that provides the analytics and the artificial intelligence, now we're changing the game, really. So that's really exciting about beyond airports, the opportunities for this platform and, you know, thinking about mobility different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Drones are being flown. There's a bunch of companies that are doing it mostly by hand. But once there's automation, once there's an ability to fly without visual line of sight, you know, what are the systems that are required for that to work? Very few companies are even thinking about that. So that's where we're focused. We have to have pilots because the FAA requires it today. But, you know, what happens when the pilots go away? You know, what does the world look like? What do the systems look like? That's what we're building now as a foundation. We'll be ready. Advanced air mobility and other things are available. The FAA agrees to other capabilities. So,
well, Rick alluded to the idea that you might be going out to raise more money as you get this traction. One of the next steps is, hey, let's go out and raise some money. When you think about that, the questions that we as investors ask, you care if we pepper you with a few of those questions now, just to kind of, one of the questions that comes to mind, okay, so it's a, you know, if somebody said, oh, it's a another drone company, what's the differentiator? Are there things that are proprietary to the way that you do business that nobody else is allowed to do? Are you first to market? Why now for you? Why is this a good timing?
Yeah, this is one of the things that, since I've been through this a bunch of times, and I whenever I look at the world, I think of, why are you doing it that way? This makes no sense, right? In fact, I can see this other business is doing it this way, and it makes a lot more sense. But this business over here is doing it the wrong. You know, if this industry knew what this industry knew, they would do something totally differently, right? Have you ever felt that way before?
Yeah, for sure.
And this is one of those situations where, you know, I can point to. I don't want to give away our secret sauce too much. I know that Rick knows about it, but you know, when I look at the way that this industry is doing things, it's insane. You know, the personal workflow to get from a job to do to the resulting analysis could be days, could be weeks, and it could be that much person time, that much build person time to do it. It's crazy. We're gonna knock those days, weeks out to real time. We're gonna be doing everything in real time. It's gonna be, you know, somewhat revolutionary, and you know, some of the questions I get from some of the investors, well, do people really care about real time? Well, of course they do. I mean, what's the value of a minute of getting your answer quicker? We can calculate. I guess we could try to calculate that, but why, right? What's the value of finding a bolt on the runway a day before you would have? Or what's the value of getting a piece of debris or finding a hole in the fence within a couple of hours that have been happening? I mean, these kinds of things, when you think about them, you know, I had the same conversations with the cell phone and internet. You know, if you don't get your response for a minute, is that really a big deal? And we thought, I'm not going to sit there and wait for a minute. That's crazy, right? So yeah, the real time is really going to be the revolutionary part of it, and also the ability to operate totally automatically and autonomously.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things in combination mean that, you know, we can be sitting at our desk and immediately find the answer. You know, I don't have to actually go out there. I don't have to send people out there. The data just comes to me. I mean, it's going to be magical, right? And that's the vision, and it spans industries. Whether you're a farmer or whether you're the Caltrans or you're now PG&E, right, with power lines. What if you just automatically got a message or an image of something that was broken, and you didn't have to do anything to get it? That's where I think everything's going, and you know, we're on the pathway to it.
Yeah, I think using analogies, which I like to use, I think most people have looked at drones as broadening vision, right? So it's like I can see more, I can get out there, and I can get broader views, right? But what if you combine that with, you know, instead of just like, oh, here's another set of eyes, here's another set of brains, right? And so if those eyes were just collecting data and data points, and we were then putting it on a platform that allows us to get those real-time answers and allows, you know, the system to get smarter, that's where we need to go in a lot of these applications we're talking about. And so that's really, you know, it's not necessarily the secret sauce, but it's that first to market, you know, not just looking as a drone as a broader vision set, but actually building a platform that allows you to accomplish these things.
Well, a lot of the questions that come up in these investor circles are, you know, what's the size of the market? So you talk about the airport market, you're talking about expanding beyond that at some point. And some of our listeners may know, and Rick obviously is well aware, that we have a couple of companies that are in the surveillance business in the casino market. Is Essential Aero, you haven't brought up that particular market, but I'm curious, shopping centers, event halls, stadiums, is Essential Aero's product going to be able to, can you be profitable on those type of venues, or does it need to be something that's that spans miles?
That is a good question, and I don't have a good answer, I'm sorry to say, but you know, something like, let's say a big stadium like the Santa Clara 49ers, right? There's a big security contingent there continually driving around and it's just like an airport. So the mission there would be totally similar, and at some point they're going to have to deploy a lot of systems for counter UAS to keep people from flying in and taking pictures of the games and everything else, right? All these things are going to be already kind of happening, but they're going to become much more of an emphasis. There will be a way to translate those into those kinds of venues. But, you know, when you start out, you try to find the highest value place to begin. If that was something that made sense, you know, we would definitely think about it. Some of these other venues could be fantastic. There's one thing we're looking at that is a 40-year contract on a thing that we could make a couple $1 million a year just by providing software. That, you know, those kinds of opportunities, if they come around, would be fantastic. Any place that you would like to get information, data, images, and have it just show up on your desk for an area that you you know, would normally send people out to go see, or you just can't see at all. You know, this can be an app. That's an application for what we're doing.
And this, maybe this is a question for both of you, but thinking about, I had somebody sitting in here yesterday with me talking about going out and we're going to raise money. So this is on behalf of early stage companies that are trying to decide if and when to go out and raise money. And if so, where do I go? When am I ready for a VC? When is it time to be talking to an angel investor? So you now have got some initial funding. Is the next step a VC, or is it still a seed round for you, Steve? And then more over to Rick is like, maybe just give us some like basic common sense on how you would recommend that people think about this.
So we took in a little bit of money to get things started. And I think after the beginning of the year, we're going to have a product that we can demonstrate. And at that point, it's, you know, we think a seed round is probably the right thing to do. The VC thing, you know, may not be necessary. The VCs are super helpful in two respects. One is they do give you cash, but there's always a lot of entanglements with that. But they also give you a network. They give you they connect you with folks, and they're always looking for a way out, right? Every minute they're spending with you, they're thinking, how can I get these guys to a point where I can sell the company and make a lot of money? Private investors, they don't think that. They think that they're helping you. You know, they feel good about what they're doing, which is great, but they're not thinking about, well, how can I get this company to be $100 million so that I can make my nut, right? Mm-hmm. And having that extra energy to push it through is super helpful. So, you know, if we could establish some mentorship network here where people are helping others think that through, and always keeping, you know, you kind of have to keep an eye on that, right? Just, you can't just think about growing, you know, 5% a year, 10% a year. That's not going to get you to the billion-dollar company. You have to actually think about what is it going to take to get to that $1 billion and work your way backwards. And most first-time entrepreneurs don't think that way, I don't think.
Yeah. So, Rick, maybe kind of, I don't know if you recall the way I kind of framed that question. People thinking about when to get money and where to go at these different stages. Do I really need traction? Do I need Steve's kind of traction, or do I need something else?
Yeah. So if we quickly kind of just go through levels of, you know, typically a lot of companies start and there's some level of bootstrapping, right? You know, you've got to put your own skin in the game, which is usually beyond just your personal time, but, you know, whether it's your retirement account or savings or, you know, credit cards, I mean, all of those solutions are used. And then beyond bootstrapping, it's, you know, typically friends and family, right? So, you know, people that believe in you, and they're not going to rip apart your business plan and your business model, and they're interested in investing in your success. Then you've got the angels, right? So these are, you know, the high net worth individuals that are willing to take more risk. It's smaller capital, but, you know, to Steve's point, they're also interested in helping and want to see you successful. Then you've got the venture level, then you've got private equity, right? And so, you know, it is interesting. I've seen over the last few years, you know, the requirements raise, you know, and so private equity is acting more like a bank, right? They want a guaranteed return. They're taking less and less risk, and VCs are acting like private equity, right? You know, they want you to be a certain revenue level. They want you to be showing some profitability. And then angels are acting like VCs, right? They've been spending a lot of time with VCs. And so they become more sophisticated. They're actually digging into your business model. They're challenging you more, et cetera. And so when you say, when should you raise money? You should be looking at your, you know, financial forecast and saying, do you need money first and foremost, right? And, you know, do you have a business? So if you haven't validated that you have a business and you can't defend it, you know, against any of these levels, then you shouldn't raise money, right? You don't have a business yet. And people get infatuated and passionate about a product or a service, and they want to change the world. And that's where a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, get that enthusiasm. But an investor is investing into a business. And so, I appreciate that, you know, selecting the right team and the right founders is a big part of the equation at the end of the day. But they have to rationalize it, and they're going to rationalize it because they believe in the business. So, you know, I would say, do you have a business? And have you challenged to make sure that your business model is working? And then what does your financial forecast say? We see a lot of entrepreneurs, they don't have what we call use of funds, right? So they say, oh, I need $100,000 so I can do more marketing. Just give me $100,000. Well, that's not a plan, right? So they really need to say, I'm going to take this $100,000. I'm going to spend this much on digital marketing. I'm looking for this return. I'm going to use this for, you know, content creation. And then we have this influencer strategy, right? You better have a plan, right? And so if you don't, if you're not confident in your business model, if you don't have a financial forecast and you don't have a use of proceeds plan that you're willing to defend, you're not ready to raise money.
Once in a while, I'll have a conversation with an entrepreneur, and I'll ask the question: Have you begun raising money from your customer yet? Because that's kind of a good sign if you can begin making some sales, right? Some amount of I keep using the word traction, but if you can get the sales engine starting, and I know that's some of the things that you're working on with the Sacramento Growth Factory, get some of that going, then investors want to come alongside. And one of the other things too about this angel community, which I think, and this is maybe a shout out to people who are thinking about, hey, maybe I'd like to become an angel investor, because we do need to sort of price some of that money off the sidelines, if you will. And we are, that's part of what the factory is all about. But the vicariousness of being an angel investor, and what I mean by that is if I invest into Steve and he succeeds, that feels good to me to watch one of my teammates thrive, or one of my it might be a protege in some circumstances, but we live vicariously through your successes, almost like we did a part of that. Maybe we put some capital in, or maybe we help provide a couple of early introductions that got you a little confidence or traction. But when we see you begin to thrive and succeed, I mean, it feels good. It's there's something beyond the financial return, I think, for an angel investor. And I think that's really the premise of the Sacramento Growth Factory. It's bigger than us and our financial return. It's bigger than that. And it's the jobs that we talked about, the economic growth, but it's the idea of seeing your neighbor, people you might see at the grocery store, seeing them succeed, knowing that they're in your backyard hanging out with you and your buddies, talking about how great we're going to be at some level, and the progress that we're making along the way. There's something very gratifying in that. And to me, it's why we started the show in the first place. And finally, we figured out what our product is around here, right? So we've been making investments. We've been, cheerleading for entrepreneurship, sharing the win stories. But really, when you can be a part of the win story, I mean, it's so much more meaningful. And I want to thank you, Rick, specifically for helping, I guess, bring the vision to life here at Haney Biz and the Sacramento Growth Factory. And for sure, Steve, for joining up with us. And maybe I'll circle back around just for closing thoughts, advice to anybody who might be out there thinking about becoming an investor, thinking about attracting to the Growth Factory, maybe thinking about being an entrepreneur. Steve, I'm going to throw it over to you just for closing thoughts to that next person in line.
Well, I'm really a fan of what you guys are doing here. I think I came with two objectives. One was to find some capital, and also to get connected with customers. And we're on the pathway to both of those things. So I'm pretty pleased, and I really appreciate what Rick's doing. I think that Sacramento is a great place to start a business. There are some things that you guys are doing that I think are going to be instrumental. I'm really, really a fan of what you guys are doing. And if there's something that I can do to be part of it, I'd be glad to do it.
Thank you. Well, thank you. You are being a part of that. I shouldn't say hopefully. Hopefully this really works.
That's going to be a matter of how big it is.
As we make this, right, as you succeed, we will succeed. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I would just, echo one of your famous statements, Mark, which is no one builds a truly great company alone. And so, if anyone in the audience has listened to this and, you're part of a large company and you say, how can this company help? We want to talk to you, right? We want, this region to be able to embrace these entrepreneurs. If you are, someone who's heard this and says, yeah, I want to learn about investing, right? I have capital. I want to, contribute to my community, to this region. mission. We want to connect with you. And if you know you're an entrepreneur and you are inspired and you want to be connected with this, we want to hear from you. So it's going to take everybody. It's going to take, you know, government officials as well, and you know, everyone, right? And so, you know, thank you, Mark, for actually, you know, igniting this landscape so that we can have this vision and we can dream like this. Now we're ready to execute and build something truly great with everyone's help.
Well, I want to thank you, and I'm inspired by your teamwork. We're off, I think, to a nice start with one another. So Steve Boyle, Essential Aero, Rick Spencer, Haney Biz, and the Sacramento Growth Factory, thank you for bringing today together, and look forward to great things to come. All right, if you don't like Steve Boyle, I don't think you like entrepreneurship, because Steve, I mean, he represents, I think, the heartbeat of the Sacramento entrepreneur. He's one of the most promising up-and-coming entrepreneurs in the region, and of course, that's why we invested into him. That's why we're partnering with him, and we're hopefully, with the Sacramento Growth Factory, helping him to achieve some milestones. So if you're interested in figuring out how to achieve your milestones, how to get your business from point A to point B, or investing into companies like Steve Boyle, hit me up. You know where to find me. And again, to all those out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, for angel investing, and for this country and this city that we love, never above you, never below you, but always by your side.